The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
You guys, it's Andy's Girls. Life is, in fact, not twirling on after the news was confirmed that Kenya Moore, also known as Keyonce, is not going to be returning to The Real Housewives of Atlanta following a suspension after some shocking news came out about what allegedly happened during filming for Real Housewives of Atlanta. So I genuinely was intending to talk about this at some point in length, but I wasn't sure when. And when the news first came out, and I'll get into the nitty-gritty updates, and I did some research for this episode. Are you proud of me? Because I am proud of myself. So there are a lot of different publications with contradictory information on what this means, on the reason for the exit, on whose decision it was. So I will get into the nitty gritty, but I have to say, admittedly, that aside from referencing this on recent AG episodes, I haven't gone into depth with what happened. I think there was a part of me that was just waiting for a little clarity. And since, you know, word got out that there was an investigation being launched, I was kind of putting off talking about this until we got more information. And to be honest, when we first heard what happened, which was toward the beginning of the month, I was so freaked out about it, to be honest, and like grossed out about what we heard initially occurred, which still hasn't been confirmed. It just made me so uncomfortable that I was like, I'm just kind of going to push this down the road as much as I possibly can until we get more information. Not to compare the two at all, but I remember when the Scandoval was first announced, I had just finished recording an episode with Sweet Baby Dill, also known as Dylan Hafer, and he literally said, guess what happened? And I was like, holy shit. And I, because we had just finished recording an episode, I was putting away our equipment. I went, okay, let's talk about it. You'll tell me the information and I'll react like on mic because this is all brand new to me. And that went up as a Patreon episode that day, like within essentially an hour of us finding out about all things Scandoval. This episode went up, which had our immediate reactions to it. But I didn't record a follow-up episode for a couple days. And I did that intentionally because there was so much happening and so much chaos that I kind of wanted to make sense of what was going on and wait as long as I possibly could. So I waited, I think, like maybe 3 days before recording an episode for AG Classic that really got into more of the nitty gritty, because I wanted to just have as solid an understanding of some of it as I possibly could, which is kind of my instinct with a lot of just uber dramatic behind the scenes breaking news style stuff. Is I might have a gut instinct reaction, but I'm one of those people who's like, okay, when am I getting like the 10,000 word deep dive on this so that I can clarify my opinion? So as soon as I heard that Kenya Moore is Dunzo, I was like, okay, this is 100% the time in which I want to talk about this. And then there has been so many swirls of contradictory information that I was like, well, let's kind of discuss this as a collective and see how we feel. So the first piece that really got everybody's attention was some breaking news from TMZ, which came out yesterday. I'm recording this Wednesday night. And the title of the piece, Kenya Moore not returning to Real Housewives of Atlanta season 16 and weighing legal options. So this is the piece that got everybody's attention yesterday. Kenya Moore is officially putting down her peach for this next season, at least, because she ain't coming back to Real Housewives of Atlanta, and this could possibly turn ugly. Sources with direct knowledge tell TMZ, Kenya will not return as a cast member for the rest of production for the new season, season 16, after she was sidelined indefinitely for allegedly unveiling sexually explicit posters of newcomer cast member Brittany Eady seemingly performing oral sex. Now, we're told Kenya has not been fired from Real Housewives of Atlanta. Instead, we're told both sides have agreed she's just going to take a break from the show for now. Our sources say Bravo is keeping the door open for a future return. However, we're also told Kenya is considering legal options at this point because she's not happy with how this whole mess unfolded. In case you're unfamiliar, the drama all started when Brittany allegedly threatened Kenya earlier during filming of this upcoming season, with Brittany allegedly using the word gun in a convo about Kenya during one of their feuds. Sources close to production tell TMZ the claim that Brittany threatened to use a weapon was in fact investigated, but we're told it was never substantiated by the network. These same sources also say there was never a gun present during filming. This is such a wild fucking start to 16. I mean, honestly, like, pray for Portia at this point. After that, Kenya ended up displaying NSFW, not safe for work, posters of her co-star at her own hair spa grand opening while Brittany wasn't there. Bravo launched an investigation into this, and in the end, we're told Kenya's behavior was found to be in violation of their code of conduct. Despite this, we're told Kenya still feels wronged, with sources familiar with the situation saying her safety concerns are a huge part of the disconnect between her and the network right now, and they're just not seeing eye to eye. So, two sides to this story, obviously. Kenya's former co-star, Candy Burris Tucker, came to her defense following the news of her suspension. So she clearly has RHOA folks still in her corner. And Portia and Drew, this is sidebar for me, have also expressed support, of course, and Teresa and some other like random people who've worked with Kenya. Of course, Bravo has faced a number of issues this year itself, with the network being hit with separate lawsuits from ex-housewives Leah McSweeney and Caroline Manzo, which are being litigated in court right now. In terms of what Kenya may or may not do next, that is to be determined. Stay tuned. So I think everybody kind of lost their shit. I'm in a couple different threads with friends who are creators, and we had discussed this as a collective a couple days ago, and I think many of us were kind of in shock that this had whatever happened had led to Kenya leaving the show, noting that there are still questions about what actually occurred. And not to say anybody is team Kenya in her behavior. I don't know a single person in my like personal life who supported what she did at her spa, at her salon rather, but just to say it was surprising because the network has such an inconsistent record of what leads to a termination or a departure that's incredibly, incredibly inconsistent. Although for whatever reason, it does feel like Housewives on franchises, including, I don't know, Potomac and Atlanta are typically given a weightier negative reaction, more public by the network than other franchises. Couldn't tell you why, but that certainly comes up. That certainly there was shock that this had genuinely led to Kenya's departure. Although at a certain point, where else could this have gone? Because it wasn't looking positive. And the fact that this incident happened at the beginning of the month and there wasn't real clarity or information given from anyone, to at a certain point, it almost feels inevitable that Kenya would leave because there was so much that was seemingly unresolved. And for this to stretch out over the course of weeks and for it to have happened in front of cameras, it's really not a great situation to have occurred from the jump. It was a terrible idea, if you ask me. And I think there's some reasoning behind that from Kenya's mind that I would consider pretty outdated. Not in terms of what she did, but why she thought she could get away with it or why she thought it was entertainment. It was one of those shocks that was also surprising, but maybe not, that it got to the point of Kenya leaving, because it just felt like Atlanta kind of ground to a halt over this. And I wasn't sure exactly how the show would be able to move forward. They're certainly in a pickle right now because the cast, I think, was already kind of confusing. Allegedly, the network had been like thinking about doing a full reboot and then decided to keep some of their like all-star cast members and work around them. Portia obviously returning, Kenya staying, keeping Drew, which is an LOL, and having a few new cast members and then bringing back Cynthia as a friend of that. I think that the production or the network, whomever, maybe both, felt like they could build out the future of the franchise on around Kenya and Portia. Like, to me, primarily, they would be at the center of the show moving forward. Apologies to Drew, but I don't know that she was as much of a factor for the dream team, I think, as Kenya and Portia were. So I don't know where this leaves the show at all. I don't know what the show will do because they were obviously in the middle of production. They were filming the night that this incident occurred. And so what does this mean for the cast? What does this mean for any material that was shot, including Kenya? Are they going to pull a Lizzie Savetsky? It's a lot easier when Lizzie Savetsky left the New York reboot a couple weeks or however long it was into filming. It was a lot easier to pick up without her because it was an entirely new cast. So the show found a way to like work around it. I think that's also why, you know, the first episode, people just felt kind of dropped into the drama in a way that was great. We didn't necessarily get introductions to these people. We were sort of thrown right into Cheesegate, which I appreciated, but that was almost accidental because they couldn't use a lot of the earlier footage because it included Lizzie. So they decided to completely take her off of the show and kind of do a reset. I don't know if you can do that with Kenya. I don't know what was shot until this point. She's obviously a huge, huge part of the Housewives universe, not just Atlanta. She's in my top five. She's in a lot of people's top fives. I think regardless of how you feel about her, she might be a housewife that you love to loathe, but I think she's a powerhouse. So I don't know if you just kind of reset. I don't know how the cast is feeling about this. Allegedly, they found out she wasn't returning yesterday on the 25th. So a lot of this is brand new information. I'm sure the production is in absolute 911 triage of how the fuck they're going to move forward. It is a huge loss for the franchise. Was it, though, deserved based on what we are told happened? And what does this have to do with Bravo's code of conduct? I have so many questions about that. I also have a ton of follow-ups of what does the code of conduct actually say? And if I was Bravo and genuinely interested in having a code of conduct, I would include what they do not want to occur. Because as of right now, it feels like they're kind of being very, very sort of nitpicking what it is that they consider a break of the code of conduct and what they consider drama that they can use to, you know, market a season's upcoming trailer, you know, market a franchise with like word on the street, X, Y, and Z happened during filming. I don't know where you draw the line with what is something the network doesn't necessarily agree with, but will appreciate as far as high conflict storylines and drama and what the network will say, this is too far. And if you have a specific list of things that you think is too far, specific examples of forms of violence, specific things that cast members may or may not be doing behind the scenes that have nothing to do with violence, but absolutely could be considered a violation, physical, emotional, or otherwise, are you spelling that out? Are you actually saying, I don't want you to do X, Y, and Z? This is considered a break of the code of conduct? Or is it just kind of one of those sort of nebulous, you know, if you do something that we consider a code break, it could be both, by the way, something that we consider a break of the code of conduct, you will face consequences for it. I don't know how you handle a code of conduct. And this gets into this weird area when we talk about the trigger warning, reality reckoning, and what the network needs and should be focused on moving forward in supporting members of its cast and potentially its audience, because you get into this weird area of, you know, look at OG New York, for example. Alcohol and binge drinking was at the core of a lot of storylines on New York. Sometimes those storylines would be cast member X, Y, and Z are drinking too much and we're having our own kind of spiritual intervention. And sometimes those storylines were like, just watch the drama take place. So if you have a break in code of conduct, at what point does the network say you're in violation of your contract versus this is great TV? I'm not saying the code of conduct shouldn't exist. It absolutely should. I'm saying, how specific are you being? Are you being purposefully oblique in a way to protect yourself so that you can pick and choose what you consider a code violation? And how does something escalate to this point? And what's the conversation with cast members of the pressure that they feel to deliver a moment? What does a moment look like for the show? And if the network has evolved on what good drama is versus bad, have they informed members of the cast? You don't kind of figure out what a code of conduct break is based on osmosis. Like, we don't have our coffee reader from Real Housewives of New York season, was that 6, 7, whatever it was. You don't have Sema there to kind of just tell you her idea of what this possibly is. And also, P.S., shout out to Sema because she was on Andy's Girls. I think during COVID, we did that over, it's an episode in the archives. We did it over Zoom. It was a delight. She was genuinely fantastic and made me cry. So I don't know exactly what to say with that. I think this raises a lot of questions for the network, including what's the environment here in which cast members feel like they need to deliver, and what's a good delivery versus bad. Not to say you need to agree with someone's behavior. The framework of Bravo often is looking at poor behavior and seeing, does this person take accountability for it, or are they going to be spiritually dragged? But what crosses that ultimate line? When I first heard about this, I was like, oh, this absolutely crosses the line. I haven't walked away from that perspective since. And in just looking up some articles in which to mention it all with you guys tonight, I just felt worse, which I didn't even know was possible. Because when I first heard about this taking place, I just was genuinely, instinctively disgusted. But I don't think Kenya necessarily got the memo. I think Kenya is operating off of a version of Housewives that certainly existed, and one could argue still does, but the temperature in the room has changed. To me, it has changed since the reality reckoning. I don't know about instances of poor behavior or reckless behavior that is, or hypersexualized behavior on Atlanta in the past. I don't know if it would still work on Atlanta today in light of the pressure that the network is under. Like, I don't know. I think Kenya in her head distorted some version of like all things Bolo for this, where there was a lot of LOLs and storyline around what the fuck happened with Bolo, and just thinking I can like seek vengeance or revenge in a way that's highly, highly sexualized that possibly humiliates a new cast member Kenya thinks, I think that she's delivering by doing too much. She's thinking to herself, potentially, my job is to cross the line. Kenya is someone who has crossed the line so many times prior and been intentionally provocative, really kind of looking for a response that's not going to be great directed in her toward her way. Because she thinks that's a part of her job. And also, there's a relatively good chance that that's going to be included in an episode. The fact that this happened at the opening of her hair salon is wild to me. The fact that Kenya thought to herself, potentially, I want to figure out something to do that's so goddamn wild and chaotic, it will make the episode. She has talked before about the fact that when she was working on her salon, working on her business, she did things on camera that wasn't included in, you know, final cuts of episodes, and feeling frustrated that there were other parts of her life and certainly her professional life outside Housewives that weren't shown on Housewives. Maybe the editors didn't feel like it was dramatic enough. Maybe they didn't want to show her as a more nuanced person. There are a lot of reasons why that content wasn't shown, certainly not all of them good. But so for Kenya, I'm thinking, is she thinking, I need to do something so wild that I can ensure the salon is shown in this episode? I would think it's incredibly counterproductive to bring in potentially, allegedly explicit sexualized photos into your place of work. At one point after the fact, she was talking about people coming for her work as a single mom, just trying to pay the bills for herself and her daughter. And I'm thinking, like, if we're talking about, you know, quote unquote, you don't support other women, meaning people aren't supporting you for your behavior in this. Is anybody including Brittany Eady in that? Because I don't know if sharing explicit, highly sexualized photos, again, allegedly, and saying in audio recordings that are available online that your co-star is a sex worker and you're calling her a whore, I don't know if that's a great example, if we're really connecting the dots here on what supporting women looks like. Because spoiler alert, Brittany Eady is also a woman. So if you're saying you're upset that people are criticizing you because they're coming for your job, babe, what do you think you were fucking doing at your salon? Jesus Christ. I mean, it's like, it's wild. This was, to me, one of the absolute worst decisions in maybe modern Housewives that a housewife has made. I do not think Kenya was taking the temperature in the room. And even if she was, to think this was in any way a good idea was wild. Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from Housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravoholic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. There is something wonderful about the change of seasons here in New York. No, not just upping my electrolytes when I go for a relatively short walk. It's the smell of summer grilling, especially for whatever reason, I don't know why, in the West Village. It's sort of my seasonal clock. When I start to smell people, that sounds crazy. When I start to smell summer grilling outside, I know summer is upon us. And listen, I can't dig into my veggie dog or veggie burger without some bread or buns. Just because it's summer doesn't mean you have to cut out all the carb-heavy foods you love. Hero Bread reinvented the bread and buns that make summer great. Fluffy, delicious flavor and texture with no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. For me, getting enough fiber and cutting down on sugar are key elements to feeling better throughout the day. Hero Bread also has mouth-watering limited edition bakes, like the popular 2-gram net carb Hero Croissant. As Luann would say, c'est bon, c'est bon. Keep the carbs out of summer without compromising flavor with Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co and use code Andy at checkout. That's Andy at hero.co. After watching Lala and Sandoval's behavior on the Vanderpump Rules reunion, I developed such an intense thirst. I guess it's contagious when you're talking about Vanderpump Rules. So thank goodness for Fiji Water. Fiji Water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the United States. It has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH, and unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. In fact, Fiji Water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two, giving it signature soft, smooth taste. As someone who has spoken on the pod time and time again about the importance of having electrolytes, especially this summer, Fiji fits into my lifestyle so well. Before going on a little bit of a stroll, just a short one in these warmer summer temps, I grab my Fiji water and I am out the door. Unlike some other premium bottled waters in the market, there's no ingredient statement on Fiji water because there's nothing added to the water itself. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. And as someone who's currently deep in the throes of watching Bravo's Finest Television, also known as Summer House, I know that having Fiji water by my side is keeping me hydrated and refreshed. So Lala, take that. I do think that if this happened on any franchise, I do think that there would be repercussions for that because it's just so obviously to me wrong. Post, it would be wrong. You know, you could argue accurately. I think it would be wrong pre-reality reckoning, but know that the network is spiraling a little bit. They're trying to figure out how to put into place some sort of framework or guidelines that make sense, even if they seem to be relatively inconsistent of late. It was a terrible fucking idea. So, after the fact, after word got out about this drama-rama, about whatever the fuck happened, Page Six had a piece about their initial reactions to the photos and the alleged gun threat scandal. So according to Page Six, Kenya Moore and Brittany Eady are giving further insight into their side of the story after a feud involving an alleged gun threat and explicit photo scandal took place while filming The Real Housewives of Atlanta. Believe none of what you hear and half of what you see, Kenya wrote via Instagram story. The truth always comes to light. She then added via X, which I'm just going to fucking call Twitter, who gives a shit. I would never engage in revenge porn. I have never distributed private images or photo footage of anyone, nor solicited images owned by others to use to threaten or blackmail. I have always been vindicated. I can't talk about story, even with people planting fake news, hashtag Sweet 16. So there had been, as soon as word got out about what occurred, people were referencing this as an example of revenge porn, of Kenya sharing explicit, highly sexualized nude photos featuring some form of nudity without the person's consent. And Kenya's response was to say, not that she has never distributed images or sexualized images of anyone. She made the point of saying, I have never distributed private images or footage of anyone, nor solicited images owned by others. And she's saying she's never used it to threaten or blackmail. You can make the argument she's using it to intimidate or harass, which isn't great. So she posted that on Twitter, also known as X, and Instagram stories. Brittany, for her part, wrote via Instagram story, and this is right after word got out. It's never a good feeling being targeted or hazed by someone I thought would embrace me into a new circle that I have never met. Page Six confirmed that Moore had shocked guests at her Kenya Moore hair spa party Thursday night by showcasing posters of her co-star performing oral sex. A source claimed, however, that the pics in question were, quote, readily accessible online. The source also alleged that Moore's racy photo display came after Edie had allegedly made threats of violence, as I said earlier, to the Atlanta veteran leading up to the hair spa event. The insider claimed to Page Six that Edie previously confronted Moore using the word gun, which made the cast feel uncomfortable. Multiple sources, including a production source, also confirmed that the alleged gun threat was never made at Moore's party. However, the production insider insisted that there had never been a weapon on set. Edie also disputed ever making any such threats in her Instagram story post. For the record, I've never once had possession of any weapons or threatened anyone ever. I've never been to jail in a fight or even had as much as a speeding ticket. That's not my character. I'm hurt by the narrative that's being displayed. Wrong is wrong. It's unclear what sparked the feud to begin with, but cameras have been rolling for season 16. It's unknown, however, whether the party where the risque images of Edie were shown will air. A source told us, Page Six at that point on Friday, which is earlier in the month, that Bravo has allegedly launched an investigation into the incident. At that point, Kenya had been suspended indefinitely. This is me talking. While the investigation was ongoing, it was only yesterday that the announcement came out that she was in fact leaving the show. So it really genuinely leads the show itself and the future of Atlanta into a bit of a crisis. I think the first blog or outlet who uncovered and announced what the fuck had happened was Straight From The A. And they had on their website at whatever point audio shown from audio from the night of someone recording it and sharing it and I guess distributing it of people reacting that there was audio from the event leaked. That substantiated reports of an illicit image being shown during the spa event, according to Straight From The A. And they continue, in the leaked audio, someone shockingly proclaims, is that a penis? And Kenya can also be heard saying to someone, you a paid hoe, before adding, Brittany does escort. There's an Instagram that put her emails out on blast. She charges $1,400 for an appointment. You not only a hoe, you a cheap whore. And then continue, this is at her literal place of work. Make it make sense. And then Kenya continues in this audio recording and says, you on covers of magazines being a thought, you all of those things, okay? You over here on Snapchat. Yo Gotti was like, Snapchat me that pussy, and you did. This is a wild episode. I don't want this remixed. And that allegedly Brittany lawyered up after Kenya's slut-shaming stunt was exposed. Bravo agreed that Kenya's stunt went too far, hence her indefinite suspension. And according to this blogger, word on the street was that the cast of season 16 had been advised against any further contact with Kenya while they launched an investigation. Ay vey. It's a fucking shit show. So then more information came out that seemingly contradicted what TMZ said about both Kenya's decision to leave and her potential future return on the show. So People had a piece, and friend of the pod, Bryce Sander with Entertainment Tonight, considered the official Housewives correspondent, also had some thoughts he shared on X. Yes, the Kenya exit is real and it was her choice. It's unclear how, if at all, this will be addressed on Real Housewives of Atlanta. When season 16 airs, they could just edit her out and around this. And as for reports, the door is open for a future return. I've been told that's not necessarily true. Bryce continues after a Twitter follower asks, like, what the fuck happened? And Bryce said, Danielle, and, you know, we just saw a physical altercation on New Jersey. This thing seems overblown. Bryce's response to that was, you know, essentially Danielle and Jen were both suspended after that incident and only clear to return after an investigation, same as Kenya's case. She opted out. It all comes down to the code of conduct clauses in their contracts, which are under a microscope in the current climate of lawsuits. And he's making so many good points, including obviously the pending litigation from Caroline, from, I mean, so many, Leah, Brandy's letter saying, you know, get your shit together or I'm going to fucking sue you to hell and back. Like, there are several housewives who are either engaged in litigation or threatening litigation, which absolutely has Bravo under pressure and under fire to stem people from having additional current examples of why they believe that the network creates and furthers a toxic workplace and a toxic place of work. A toxic workplace and a toxic place of work. Look how those seem different, but they're not. The joy of word use late on Wednesday night. So it's not great. Word on the street is it's not great. People magazine had their own thoughts to share, noting before sharing this that People often, you know, different outlets are known for kind of different things. You're going to have a sense of one outlet whose sources are likely people in production versus another outlet whose sources are a consistent housewife or Bravo Leb. People often acts as a little bit of the middleman for production and the network. So keep that in mind when they have information that might be different, that either reflects the network in a more positive way or counteracts a housewife or Bravo Leb who's being perceived as behaving badly. So People published a piece that says Kenya's leaving the Real Housewives of Atlanta. People can confirm that Kenya will not be returning to this series. Cast members were told the news on Tuesday. It's a decision that sources close to production tell People came from the network, though TMZ, who was first to report the news, said more mutually agreed to take a break from the series. The outlet's insiders also claim that more is exploring her legal options because she's not happy with how this whole mess unfolded. A rep for more and Bravo did not immediately respond to People's request for comment, but Kenya did appear to address the news on Twitter, saying hashtag Team Twirl forever. You are the best fans anyone could ever ask for, and I love you all so very much, always and forever. News of the reality star's unceremonious exit from Real Housewives of Atlanta comes after she was suspended indefinitely from filming for allegedly unveiling explicit pictures of new cast member Brittany Eady. The pictures, which sources previously told People were shown while the Bravo cameras were rolling on Thursday, June 6th at the grand opening of Kenya's Kenya Moore Hair Spa, showed Eady performing oral sex on an unnamed male. Eady was not in attendance at the spa when the snapshots were revealed. At the time, an insider told People that Moore was retaliating after Eady allegedly threatened her co-star using the word gun. However, a second source close to production disputed that, saying at no time was Kenya ever threatened with a weapon, nor was there ever a weapon present during the course of production. Just a little sidebar here that if you're retaliating because you feel like a cast member is referencing or using terminology connected to gun violence, why you would retaliate about someone who you're trying to tell us you are frightened of because they're referencing a gun. You're taking that as a threat. So your decision is to further provoke them by slut-shaming them to absolute hell and back and releasing sexually explicit nude photos, regardless of how quote-unquote readily available you're trying to tell us they are. Why on earth, if you felt like your life or physical body was being threatened, would you try to provoke that person? I would argue if there's potential litigation down the line that Kenya's fears for her life were not being respected by the network when this alleged threat or use of the word gun happened during filming or, after filming began. You sort of negate that argument that you were frightened when your next plan is to retaliate by drawing this person's ire to the utmost extent. You can say you were seeking revenge, but if a part of your argument is that you were scared, I mean, honestly, first off, if you're seeking revenge, I wouldn't recommend it. If this person is potentially talking about a gun in a way that you find threatening, number one. Number two, if you are quite literally afraid for your life or your safety, to think instinctively that I need to make this person more upset or humiliated is not a great idea. Maybe this is the life lesson moving forward. I would focus on ensuring that your safety is confirmed and continued versus trying to escalate matters. I would not recommend taking a threat as real and trying to provoke that person further. That math to me is not mathing. Continuing on though, an insider insisted People on Tuesday, June 25th that the threat was real. This insider, I assume, is representing Kenya. The insider says, Kenya was concerned for her safety. That is the truth. Never for one second did Kenya feel like she was being taken seriously for her fears. It's unfair. My reaction to that is you have every right to feel concerned for your safety if you feel like the network isn't taking this seriously. But are you? If you felt like your fears were not being taken seriously, why would you try to triple down on upsetting this person? It's not fair if you feel that you reported this or it was done on camera and not taken seriously or the network denied that this had occurred. I can understand frustration and upset about that. But the decision for you to seemingly not take it seriously by escalating to this extent does not make sense to me. It doesn't have to. Kenya and I aren't pals. She is in my top five, however. I do have respect for her on this show. I think this was a horrifying decision that she made. It's, as People say, she exits Atlanta as the franchise's longest running peach holder. This is a big fucking issue. Who knows what is going to happen here. Kenya did, the day that her initial suspension was announced, Kenya had an Instagram Live. I watched every second of it. It was wild. I knew essentially pretty quickly, as I think most people did watching, that it was sort of a version of an Instagram Live Ponzi scheme of like, she said at the beginning, if I get 100,000 people on here, I'm going to tell you what's going on in the news. Like, my answer to stuff. That didn't happen. She didn't get 100,000 people on the Instagram Live at that moment. She did have Portia and Drew, among others, just commenting with support in the comments. And she definitely acknowledged Portia. I actually forget if it was Drew or a LOL, truly not making a joke, Drew fan club, if that is a thing that exists. I remember her acknowledging Portia, and I forget with Drew if it was Drew herself or, I don't know, Drew's mom or whoever runs that account, that fan account that is definitely real because Drew's a star. So what Kenya did over the course of this Instagram Live, and I was genuinely laughing throughout because it was so wild. She just gave a tour of her salon. She was just walking everybody. She had just been announced as suspended indefinitely. Everyone was spiraling. So she hops on an Instagram Live to do a marketing opportunity. Now, ideally, the marketing opportunity wasn't around people asking, were you fired for sharing explicit sexual content, trying to slut shame one of the members of your cast who you're also saying you were potentially physically threatened by. Is this really the time to show us, you know, how great the salon is? But maybe that is the time when she has the most eyes on her. I still, for the rest of my goddamn life, I understand doing Kenya Moore hair care because that wasn't at her place of business. It was like rudely, iconically interrupt someone else's. But to just do this at yours, that will never make sense to me. Her idea to do this at her salon, it genuinely will not ever make sense. So, you know, we talked a little bit about the TMZ of it all. We talked a little bit about Page Six. I just shared straight from the A's original transcript of that audio recording. And as I said, ET Online had slightly different info than People, so I'm going to share that too. Of course, they stated at the beginning, as we all know, Kenya Moore is officially out of The Real Housewives of Atlanta after 11 seasons with the show. On Tuesday, ET confirmed that the 53-year-old, but also, I mean, ageless, reality TV star will not be returning for season 16 following her suspension by Bravo back in early June. Kenya was sidelined at the time for alleged drama involving co-star Brittany Eady. In response, a source tells ET that she decided to part way with the franchise despite previously expressing interest in returning. She did say it was either during that Instagram Live or right after that she would not be going anywhere. But I honestly took that more of like, I will still be in this world. I didn't necessarily take it as her being literally a part of the show because there would be no way for her to know that at that point. Kenya is not returning to Real Housewives of Atlanta this season. She decided it was best for herself to leave after how she felt the incident was handled and how she was treated, a source shared with ET. Kenya later vaguely addressed her decision to exit the series in a tweet, which I discussed prior. And while TMZ reports Bravo is keeping the door open for a future return, a source with knowledge of the situation tells ET that hasn't been discussed. A separate source tells ET it's currently unknown how Kenya's exit will be addressed on the show. They reference Lizzie Savetsky. The source says it's still early into filming and they could just edit her out like Lizzie Savetsky on New York. Savetsky was a cast member on the rebooted version of The Real Housewives of New York, but left the show early on in filming. When the show premiered, she was completely left out of the edit. Regardless of how her departure is handled, the individuals say Kenya is not interested in conversations at this time after her unceremonious suspension. Kenya was suspended for allegedly depicting Britney performing a sexual act at the grand opening of her Kenya Moore hair spa in Atlanta from images allegedly found online. One person shared with ET, the network is still reviewing the content Kenya displayed during filming. I don't know how long it takes to review that content. It's literally been weeks. Maybe get a better, I don't know, VCR or something. I don't know what to tell you. After the news of her suspension broke, Kenya hopped on IG Live and said she has a lot going on and was doing her best to be a successful business owner and working mom. The way that people go out of their way to disparage your name or ruin your business, I'll never understand it. She said, leave me alone. I'm a single mom. I'm out here just like anybody else. I'm not getting child support. I'm not getting anything. I'm taking care of my daughter on my own. She requested that fans ride with me through this journey. And Kenya shouted out Drew and Portia throughout the live for being supportive. Portia wrote, we love you. Praise Kenya as a queen. Shamia Morton and Angela Oakley revealed they were watching. And Drew praised Kenya's hair. And what an excellent way of showing support. And the rest of the cast is still filming season 16. So following the alleged event, Kenya took to social media, which is the quote I shared earlier about never engaging in revenge porn, Kenya today took to Instagram to post some photos of herself and her beautiful, adorable daughter, Brooklyn. They're on vacation. Kenya said in the Instagram post, "Thank you for all the support, hashtag Team Twirl. My heart is full and my conscience is clear. So many false claims hiding behind anonymous sources. All this conversation and no facts being reported. If a claim or source was valid, would they need to hide? My life is blessed. My daughter and I will continue to thrive in a non-toxic environment where we feel appreciated and most importantly, protected. Thank you, God, for covering us." And then at the bottom, she wrote, "The rumors and narrative about me randomly showing nudes or revenge pee," meaning revenge porn, "is 1000% untrue. I have proof and will share soon." I think either she showed a dick and Brittany in some capacity or she did not. Like, that either happened or it didn't. Unfortunately for Kenya, the whole purpose of this was to share this and drag Brittany on camera. And so what that means when you're doing this specifically and solely for on-camera content is that cameras are going to capture said content. Now, I know that there is a lot of confusion about what the fuck was actually shown in several of these pieces. It's addressing sexualized photos, a photo of Brittany engaged in some sort of highly sexualized content, potentially engaged in a sex act. Kenya's description of things is that, you know, said information or photos were found online. There is a photo that has been seen online that looks like a Photoshop of Brittany on a red carpet, and it looks like someone Photoshopped in a sex organ, also known as a penis. I don't know if that was one of the images or the image shown at the event. It is, to me, obviously a Photoshop, which would go against Kenya's earlier argument that she had found images online. This looks like something that someone had created. It could also be a horrifying, like, fan edit attempt to be an LOL of just pulling a beautiful photo of Brittany on a red carpet and inserting in someone's penis as a way of making a terrible joke. There are people who are taking that picture literally. Who knows if that photo is an incredibly gross attempt at humor or an incredibly gross attempt at humor that was also shown on camera. There's no way to know. Kenya's defense with a lot of this is that, this was readily available images online. So I haven't, because I just truly don't want to, Googled Brittany Eady sexual act. My guess is it would just bring up articles about Kenya, to be perfectly honest. Like, I don't exactly know what Kenya's doing, but I did look up Georgia revenge porn law, because initially when I heard revenge porn, I think more of the argument that Rachel is making that Ariana vehemently denies happened, which is that Rachel shared explicit sexual content with Tom Sandoval unbeknownst to her, and without her consent, he recorded it. And then according to Rachel, in her lawsuit against Tom and Ariana, Rachel says that Ariana shared that sexual content, which was allegedly recorded without Rachel's knowledge or consent, that Ariana shared that. Ariana has repeatedly denied that that happened. But when you think about the term revenge porn, that potential alleged exchange of information and content is the argument Rachel is making about how revenge porn factors into her lawsuit. So that's kind of my thinking about revenge porn. So then I was like, let me just look up what revenge porn law looks like in the state of Georgia, where obviously The Real Housewives of Atlanta takes place and is filmed. So I brought up a random fucking law office from somebody, Jonathan K. Van, whatever the hell, Matre, M-A-T-R-E, shout out to you. Did I say Jonathan? His name is Jordan. It doesn't matter. Anyway, thanks to the law offices of that man, I have a little bit more information that I'm going to share. So the law office of Jordan K. Van, M-A-T-R-E, says lawmakers across the, and this is a law office based in Atlanta, lawmakers across the, or rather Georgia, lawmakers across the country have been cracking down in recent years on revenge porn or non-consensual pornography as more people have gone public with their stories about the effect on their lives and mental health of having explicit photos and videos that they thought were private shared on social media and even on porn sites. People often associate revenge porn with people sharing these images to get back at their former boyfriends and girlfriends, thus the term revenge porn. However, they can also be shared by third parties trying to embarrass or harm someone. The threat of posting such images can also be used to threaten or bribe others. In recent years, Georgia has strengthened the law. A first offense, if the images are posted some places online, for example, on someone's social media page, is a high and aggravated misdemeanor if the, quote, nude or sexually explicit image, whether real or falsely created, is considered harassment or causes someone financial loss while serving no purpose for the person depicted. When does it become a felony? However, second and subsequent offenses are considered felonies. A person convicted can be sentenced, but this doesn't affect Kenya, because this is for second and subsequent offenses. A person convicted can be sentenced to up to 5 years behind bars and or a fine of up to $100,000. The offenses, also a felony, regardless of whether it's a first or offense or not, if the images are posted to any type of adult site specializing in such images, which also doesn't impact this current situation. Specifically, the law defines these as a website, peer-to-peer file sharing site, thumbnail gallery, movie gallery post, linked list, live webcam, web page, or message board that advertises or promotes its service as showing, previewing, or distributing sexually explicit conduct. And that's charged as a felony. So maybe don't do any of this. The penalties are the same as those noted above. It can be all too easy, says Jordan, whose name I also call Jonathan, to make poor decisions in a moment of anger. However, decisions involving sharing explicit images of someone without their permission can have long-lasting consequences. It's also too easy to have someone go into your phone or computer and send images that look like they're coming from you when they're not. Whatever your situation, if you're facing revenge porn charges, it's critical to have experienced legal guidance to protect your rights. And then, because I just was having too much fun learning about the law, I did look up Georgia Code Title 16, Crimes and Offenses, subsection, I guess, 16-11-90, which is also, I believe, included in Jonathan Jordan's piece that I just read. So I was looking up as of March 28th, day after my birthday, happy birthday to me, what this code section meant. So I was kind of curious as to harassment and nudity. So I looked up, what is this? A, B, and part one, which says a person violates this code section if he or she, or they, excuse me, inclusive, knowing the content of a transmission or post, knowingly and without the consent of the depicted person, electronically transmits or posts in one or more transmissions or posts a photograph or video which depicts nudity or sexually explicit conduct of an adult, including a falsely created video, graphic, or still image when the transmission or post is harassment or causes financial loss to the depicted person, serves no legitimate purpose to the depicted person, and is transmitted or posted. it gets into more. I guess you can just Google, you know, the People's Court for more information on this. It gets into more subsections of USC section 230 and 47 and 153 and whatnot. Really learning a lot through my love of all things housewives and drama. Really didn't need to know this much detail about whether or not Kenya's act potentially breaks the law versus is a really fucking terrible idea. I would highly recommend against slut shaming, especially when it's involving explicit photography. It appears, according to my cursory understanding of Georgia law, of which I almost know less after reading that information. That's how my brain works. But I can tell you what Kyle Richards had yesterday for lunch. But like this stuff to me goes in one ear and out the other. But also, you know, words are fun. It does appear that it's not a great idea to do. And I think Kenya finds herself in a little bit of hot water here, especially if she's interested in litigation against production or the network, because while I don't know the ins and outs of legalities here, if you're having a conversation about morality and your lawsuit has to include this information and more specifics of her behavior and also said behavior is on camera, I don't know how that's going to help your case unless one of Kenya's potential arguments is that because she was filming and maybe cluing in producers, I don't know what the nitty-gritty looks like when you are an established cast member who's been on the franchise essentially for over a decade. Are you saying, yeah, let's agree to film at my salon and I'll quote unquote, wink, wink, make it worth the show's while, that like I'll make sure drama happens? Did you actually say explicitly what was going on? How did production respond to all of this? What was done in the minutes following this reveal? Did production lower their cameras? What was the conversation between Kenya and the producers that night? I would think all of this becomes incredibly important for either side, for Kenya's perspective, for the network and or production's possible defense of their behavior. Was she in any way, was she in any way under the impression that this is what delivering as a housewife looked like? I think it's going to be a series of possible uncomfortable conversations if she does engage in some sort of legal response, which we don't know if that's actually going to happen, because I read like 15 different news pieces, all of which in some way slightly contradict each other, which tells you that not necessarily that anybody's like wrong in their reporting, but that these sources have contradictory information and understanding and also different goals in mind.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
And also, there needs to be a bigger conversation about this code of conduct. And I know that some of you are so fucking tired of me referencing this, but I'm gonna do it anyway, which is, what is the code of conduct for franchises outside of Atlanta? What is considered a break? And at what point do you formalize investigations here? I recorded an episode, which you guys will hear this weekend, with my guest, you know, going back and forth about the newest episode of New Jersey, which I thought was wild and intense, and I could talk about it for hours and hours. Amen. And in fact, we do. It's a two-part AG classic. We also talk quite a bit about Summer House because how can you not? You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to all things New Jersey, I expressed shock about there being an investigation for the incident around Jen Aiden and Danielle. Not to say that getting physical is a good thing, but to say I was confused about these cast members being suspended while an investigation took place, because I thought to myself, it's on camera. It is so apparent when you watch it as to actually what happened. So what's the investigation going to be? Now, that to me is like a little flippant of me to say that, right? Because I'm not trying to push forward less investigations, but I am trying to say that it's odd which acts are seen as going against Bravo and production's code of conduct and which acts merit investigation. To me, if you have a very, at this point, isolated, who knows what's going to happen for the rest of the season, an isolated physical altercation that was clearly caught on camera, you can look at that content and I think pretty clearly see what happened, who was provoked, exactly the A to B to C to D, and then make a determination about how a cast member is going to be affected. But who's determining who gets suspended and who has violated the code of conduct? Now, this is the thing that I just referenced. I'm going to say again, so like earmuffs if you don't want to hear it. But what I think needed to happen, if Bravo is now focusing so heavily on their code of conduct and on doing these investigations, and P.S., they might have done this, but I haven't heard confirmation that they have, is doing an investigation into allegations that were made at last season's New Jersey reunion. Don't put all the pressure on viewers to litigate with each other whether or not Louis called Marge's son, whether or not Louis hired Bo Deedle and did investigations on cast members potentially to use against them, intimidate them, harass them, whatever else. Don't put it on us to make this into a game of Clue. If you are saying you're taking line crossing seriously and you're doing investigations and you're suspending people, did you do an investigation about Marge's son's call? Don't leave it on us to hear from Marge in press interviews that the network confirmed to Marge and agreed that it was Louis who made that call. Give us evidence of that, or at least establish to the viewers that an investigation happened and this was the result. This was the response. Because what I'm hearing right now is that the network has a really inconsistent record of what they are considering a line cross and what they are considering potential intimidation. It shouldn't come to possible alleged photos of like Brittany Eady and somebody's dick or whatever to say that there's a line cross. There's other line crossing that should be investigated. And also, it should be noted in said code of conduct. I understand legally why there might be a reason to keep a code of conduct as generalized as possible. But I am saying that if there is an expectation that cast members should not be engaging in physical altercations with each other, you should spell that out. If that is never okay, wink, wink, you should be saying in contracts that it's never okay. You should be saying that children, regardless of what age, should not be intimidated by cast members or anybody relating to cast members. If you don't want cast members to be investigated by friends or family members of husbands or spouses of cast members, then spell that out. But how are we deciding what unethical, alleged, unethical, because this is all alleged at the end of the day, alleged unethical examples of line crossing, intimidation, or harassment are at the point where the network is willing to investigate them? Or are they not investigating some of this because they don't want to know the answer? They don't want it to be seen as a line cross, or they don't want to involve themselves? Then you're in a whole other fucking issue. Then that's like a whole other can of goddamn worms. But it was frustrating to me in watching the Jen Danielle Vidal, and yes, we do get into that on the upcoming episode. I'm wondering if I have a chance to, I would love to do just a separate solo deep dive of New Jersey because there was so much there in the most recent episode. But to me, that's a pretty clear case of exactly what happened. It's up to the network to decide if there are any repercussions. Both cast members were allowed to continue filming once the investigation ended. That's what Bryce mentioned in his tweet, which I shared a little earlier in this 1900-hour episode, that Bravo suspended both Jen and Danielle while they launched an investigation. And then once they closed the investigation, both women were allowed to rejoin the cast and continue filming. It's just wild to me because I would also think, and again, earmuffs, trigger warning, if you do not believe that that call happened to Marge's son, I would think you would also be interested in just clarifying, clear Louis's name. If he wasn't involved in this and there's proof that he's not, or there's information that establishes something versus the other, or even if that doesn't happen, to not have a formal investigation when this allegation is made on camera, to me, leaves the network open in a way that's odd to me. It's honestly bizarre. Clear this man. If he wasn't, listen, there's a lot of other shit for us to talk about with Louis. If he wasn't involved in this, clear him. He should be cleared. We should be told this allegation that happened on camera didn't happen. We saw more of a focus on making sure the audience was aware that Carl didn't call production on Summer House. Andy mentioned and made that clear how many times on the Summer House reunion than we got about line crossing on New Jersey. And that's weird to me, but it also goes to show what the network believes will benefit them and what they want to put more attention on. They get to decide what they want to clarify, how that will impact what additional information we'll get about the Kenya situation. I have no idea. I don't know what will happen with Kenya next. I don't know if she is potentially threatening a lawsuit or not. I don't know if she's upset about concerns and questions about her safety. She has every right to feel upset if she feels that she wasn't protected and that she feels that there was a threat that needed to be taken seriously or an aside that needed to be taken seriously that she felt was made in a threatening manner. She has every right to discuss that. If she's going to be public about this and open about this, I have no idea. I don't know whose counsel she's seeking. I would highly recommend she not use the counsel that's like doing some volunteer work because, you know, Bethany made a call of these like celebrity lawyers who want to make sure that their name is out there. Because if I was Kenya, I would probably not want to connect this to the quote unquote reality reckoning because there's just so much baggage attached to that because of what happened allegedly on Girls Trip, because of the Leah stuff, because of, even though Caroline's attorney is separate from Bethany's, the attorneys that Bethany recommended help various Bravo Lebs, Caroline's attorney and lawsuit is separate from that. But if I was Kenya, I would probably be looking for my own legal counsel. I don't know. Is she good with Phaedra? Maybe they could chat. Maybe not include Phaedra in this. Let's not draw additional connections to questions about line crossing when it comes to exploitative accusations around sexual misconduct, right? Maybe we have Phaedra sit this one out. It's a mess. It's a mess. Just to clarify and make sure it's clear, I in no way support Kenya's behavior and I'm horrified by it. I also have a lot of questions about what this means for the future of Bravo and the lessons that they're taking away from this and also Kenya's future on the show. It does not sound good for her potentially returning. It sounds like there's a difference of opinion here on who made the decision that Kenya was not going to return this season and whether or not there's been a conversation about her future on the show. It is a bad fucking moment for Kenya because she's no longer on the season. She's not making that check. There are huge, huge financial repercussions for her. And again, I will never understand why she chose to do this at her salon. We still don't know exactly what was shown. I don't know that we will ever know. And the fact, again, that Kenya really just didn't take the temperature in the room of what exactly going on here is not key, is key and is not okay. She has also agreed with a comparison that was posed to her on Twitter, alleging that there's a hypocrisy between penalizing her for her behavior versus what's going on with Tom Sandoval, who allegedly recorded Rachel in an intimate moment without her consent. So Kenya's drawing that comparison as to like, you know, well, Tom didn't get in trouble. In fact, he got maybe a higher salary or continued on the show after word got out about his behavior and now he's being sued. food? Is there a hypocrisy between me being forced off the show or at that point being indefinitely suspended versus Tom, who faced no major professional consequences? I would recommend, if I was Kenya or someone in her circle, probably not drawing a direct comparison that equalizes her behavior with Sandoval's, especially because he's being sued and Rachel's lawsuit is ongoing. I would not, for Kenya, especially because she wants to get away from conversation, including the term revenge porn and any kind of sexual misconduct, I would not, with the sharing of explicit imagery, I would not recommend that she equalize her alleged poor behavior with Tom's. And also, his weren't made on camera. And this is the thing that's sort of tough to hear, which is the irony here that there's so much evidence of exactly what occurred because the point of it was to occur on camera. My guess is Kenya would not have engaged in this act or this behavior except for the fact that there was a camera crew there because she thought it was a moment, because she wanted to humiliate this person that obviously she has some shit with. For whatever reason, she chose to, or maybe to draw attention to her salon, or maybe to fulfill what she felt was her job, which is doing too much, that she ensured that this happened on camera. That is not good for her. It's not good for her. It's potentially not good for the network. Even, I would argue, if they, you know, came to the determination that she couldn't continue because of this, the very fact that it happened to begin with and like the specifics around that to me are not great. Is it possible she walked into the room, somebody went to Kinko's and she, you know, had some photos and nobody knew or showed photos on a TV screen? I don't know what, again, we don't know exactly what happened. Is that possible that no one knew? Absolutely, it's possible. But also, what happened after the fact? And, you know, Kenya is not known as someone who takes lightly any accusations around her character or certainly consequences for it. She is known as a provocateur plus plus. Sometimes that has worked to her benefit. Sometimes it has maybe worked to her benefit when it comes to attention, but really drawn the ire of her cast members and the audience for intentionally trying to provoke people into maybe physical responses at points. So I don't know how this line crossing is going to work for her, especially if one of her defenses is, I was afraid for my safety. You know, and for the network, what merits an investigation and what does not? What merits a formal investigation and what happens regardless of the investigation with that content? If you're leveraging it as entertainment and drama, is that because the investigation showed that this is okay entertainment? Then what is not? The Kenya example is so specific and so fucked, but I do think this conversation can apply to other instances and can raise questions of what essentially ultimately concerns the network. What is that ultimate crossing of the line? And also, is Sheree going to be hired a historic fourth time? You cannot tell me that the remaining cast members of this godforsaken hashtag Sweet 16, the return people, the familiar faces, are going to be Portia, God bless, certainly not Simon, and Drew, and then, you know, our friend 53 Cent, who I love, love of my life, Cynthia Bailey. You cannot tell me, I mean, can we not give another friendship contract to somebody else? And I don't mean necessarily friend of, bring back Dr. Whitfield, who has changed her Instagram profile accordingly, because she got an honorary degree. If she is not, you know, acting as a professor or whatever, or writing something out, a doctoral scholarly tome of some kind. Something tells me Sheree is available. I don't know, just a gut instinct here. Bring the lady back. She was fired historically for a third time. You know what that tells me is it's ample time, turtle time even, to bring her back a fourth. So I don't know. Do I think this upcoming season of Atlanta is fucked? Yeah. Could that change? Sure. Crazier things have happened. I don't know how you continue with this. This is such a shit show. It was, to me, a wildly poor decision on Kenya's part to do this. I don't think that slut shaming involving explicit sexualized imagery is a great idea. I do, though, want to reference, before we say adieu for tonight, the fact that this did happen once before. On Million Dollar Listing New York, Ryan, oh God, this is so many years ago, so I apologize. MDL people are like, oh, I just called it MDL. I don't know if I love that. You know, people who watched New York are probably going to have thoughts because I might be fucking this up. So you can certainly Google Reddit to like get a clip or whatever. But at some point, Ryan Serhant and Frederick Eklund had gone into some sort of drama. I don't remember if it was a bad deal or just Frederick's personality, which is, you know, kind of tough at points, especially because he does a lot to be extra that I'm sure annoys his cast members on, frankly, any coast at this point. So Ryan brings people together. I think it was an open house at one of his properties. I feel like I remember a pool. Maybe there was a pool party or something. And he says there's going to be a film screening. He does not tell anybody any other information. He makes sure that Frederick is there, as well as whomever else who was invited. And then the film he aired, which was shown in the app, I mean, blurred, but obviously this was, or not obviously, this was a point of drama in this season. I forget which season, unfortunately. The film that was shown was an adult film that Frederick had participated in however many years ago. So Ryan showed an adult film, obviously without Frederick's permission or consent, to film this scene being shown on reality TV and in front of however many people at this hoity-toity private event of Frederick engaged in a sex act that he consented to do, but certainly didn't consent to being shown on Million Dollar Listing, which Ryan did to seek revenge and humiliate him for whatever reason. So this was so many years ago. I don't remember what the feeling was at that point in time, aside from I remember just like this disgust because I thought it was gross. Are we drawing comparisons between how Bravo handled that, LOL, like they were barely a network at this point. I don't know if they were just like a legal pad or something else. It was so many years ago, but that's a part of Bravo history when it comes to examples of slut shaming happening on camera by a cast member thinking this is going to be a moment that will stand out and doing it in a way to potentially seek revenge. I think if you probably asked Ryan now, my guess is he would regret doing that. He may well have said that in press interviews at whatever point in the years after it aired. It wasn't a great moment for him. It certainly wasn't a great look. So Kenya is not the first person to do this in the pantheon of poor decision making around slut shaming a cast member on her show. She's not the first to do it, but she is the most recent at a different point in time. It doesn't make Ryan's behavior okay, but it does mean that there's going to be a specific additional lens and maybe burden on the network to respond and shut it down. So codes of conduct, TBD. What will happen next with Kenya, TBD? Obviously, she won't be back on the show this season. Who knows what will happen with her in the future? Who knows if any footage of her will be included in this season? She's not filming additional content, but who knows what's going to happen and what her cast members will say. Candy has been doing some press this week for a sponsorship and noted that, you know, Kenya sometimes goes too far, but she thought it was unfortunate that she had been let go from the show or had left the show. And so, you know, it's a real genuinely to be continued about what all of this means. But it does, to me, raise a lot of questions about the code of conduct and so much more. So to be continued, story developing, as TMZ initially said, and hopefully this episode is in some way clarifying just in terms of the level of information that is to me contradictory in ways that are intentional but also important to acknowledge. And none of us really fucking know. Like, who knows what the actual images were? Who knows about, you know, the immediate fallout from this? Who knows what the next steps will be? I guess we're just going to have to like genuinely, literally watch and see what happens. So I'm curious for your thoughts. Comment on the social graphic for this episode on IG. Let me know what you're thinking about the codes of conduct outside of All Things Kenya, or whether this should influence some other decision making and maybe lapses in action from the network and various productions. So you can follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. Send me your satchels of gold. Let me know your thoughts and feels. They might be included in an upcoming Patreon episode. Please, regardless of whether or not you've sent me a satchel before, please include your first name and town, or let me know if you'd like it to be anonymous. And your satchels of gold are, of course, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Kaloran Ben-Simone, who is a little bit of a runaway bride this week. She ended her engagement to her fiance 4 days before their planned wedding. And the day that she was due to pick up her 3 wedding dresses from Kleinfeld, the reason for the breakup, which she updated us about, it was surprising to me. And I thought, good for you, Kel. Good for you. That's what I think of as growth. So I'll be getting to that on an upcoming AG page. And again, your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, as I just said, named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Kaloran Ben-Simone, can be DM'd to me over Instagram at Dame Galley. No voice notes, please, or emailed to andysgirlsshow@gmail.com. And again, those AG Patreon exclusive episodes can be found at patreon.com/andysgirls. Life twirls on. She is certainly gone with the wind. It is not turning out to be maybe a great point in time for Atlanta. So hopefully they figure their shit out, because we really, really deserve a great season. And I'm sorry that we're not going to see Kenya and Portia together. I really, really am. So let me know your thoughts and feels. Thanks for listening to this episode. And I will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.